Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. This is an exciting recording. We've finally reached the end of the tractate. We're at the bottom of Lamud Bet Amud Aleph. That's 32a, which is the final half Amud of Masechet Megillah, and we will, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next 10 minutes or so, finish the Masechta. We've been learning a number of teachings related to Torah reading. In our previous section, we were mostly dealing with Torah reading, not Torah reading, but Galila, with rolling the Torah up at the end. And we were in the middle of a series of teachings by Reb Shvatia in the name of Rabbi Yochanan related to Torah reading. We did three of them, only because I forgot to do the fourth at the end of the last recording. We're going to do the last two now. So we are in the skinny lines towards the bottom of the page. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines up in the skinny lines. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. The Amar Rav Shvatia, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Shvatia said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Minayin shemishtamshim bevatkol. From where do we know that it is permitted to use a bat kol? Now, this might be surprising to you if you've heard of the word bat kol before. It's usually translated as a heavenly voice. The usual halacha related to bat kol is ein mashgichim bevat kol. We do not pay attention to a bat kol. For instance, in the famous story of the Tanur Shalachnai, where Hashem, there's a bat kol from Hashem that tells us which halacha is, and the rabbis don't listen to it because they say ein mashgichim bevat kol, and Hashem says nitzchuni banai nitzchuni. My children have defeated me. In other words, they didn't even listen to my heavenly voice. Now, the heavenly voice is usually only used post-prophecy. When there were no prophets, there was occasionally some kind of divine voice that came from the heavens that was called a bat kol. Now, it's not really called a kol, as Tosfot points out, but a bat kol, which properly is probably translated as an echo, some kind of an echo that comes from the heavens. The Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnayos says that there are really two kinds of bat kol. The first kind of bat kol was this echo that came from the heavens, which was weighing in on a halachic matter. And there the halacha is ein mashgichim bevat kol. And then there's a second kind of echo or voice that could be heard by an individual not related to halachic practice, is some kind of a confirmation of their action. So this bat kol is a fundamentally different category from what we usually mean when we mean bat kol. The only reason that they're similar is that they both have something to do with some kind of a voice that's not easy to distinguish, that's some kind of an echoey voice. So minayin shemishtamshim bevat kol, from where do we know that in your private life, if you hear some kind of an echo, that you're allowed to follow its words? Shenemar, as it says, there's a verse in Yeshayahu chapter 30, Ve'aznecha tishamana davar me'acharecha le'mor. If your ears hear a word coming from behind you saying something, the rest of the pasuk says, Zeha derech l'chuba, go this way, kita aminu, go to the right, v'chitas mi'ilu, or go to the left. So you hear some sort of voice in your head or outside your head, some kind of a paranormal voice telling you what to do, that you're permitted to listen to it. The other possible objection to listening to a bat kol is that there is a biblical prohibition called lo tanachashu v'lo tonenu, of not using any kind of magic or sorcery. And this sounds like you're listening to magic voices telling you what to do. Is it a problem of lo tanachashu? So there's a big dispute about this, because it does kind of seem like the kind of sorcery that you're not supposed to do as a Jew. The Meiri goes to some lengths to defend this practice. It seems to me that here you're not asking for it. You're not trying to summon a voice. You're not davening for a voice to tell you what to do. Those things might actually be problematic here. You're trying to decide what you should do. You're trying to decide if you should go left or right or make a certain decision or not make a certain decision. And you hear a voice. It just happens to you. So there's no prohibition against deciding to do what the voice says. There's also no prohibition of deciding against what the voice says. You have permission to still make that decision. You don't have to say, oh, the voice told me to go left, now I have to go right. You're allowed to follow that decision. That's what it seems like to me. So the Gemara limits this a little bit. Vahani Mile, these words that says you're allowed to listen to this echo, is Deshama Kol Gavra Bamata, if you hear a man's voice in the city, Vikol Itata Bedabra, or you hear a woman's voice in the country. So the woman's voice in the country for sure means that it's an unusual voice. You wouldn't expect to hear a woman out in the fields. You'd only expect to hear men. A man's voice in the city, a little less clear what exactly it means. But in all the cases, it means it's not the voice of a person. It's an unusual voice, a voice you wouldn't expect to hear. V'huda amar hin hin, and it says only if the voice says yes, yes. V'huda amar lav lav, or no, no. It has to be only a confirmation of the decision or against the decision, and has to be said twice. In those conditions, according to Rav Shvatia in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to follow the dictate of a bat kol, of some kind of whisper that you hear. Okay, the fifth teaching of the fifth and final teaching, the Amar of Shvatia, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shvatia is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaKore Belo Ni'ima, Vishone Belo Zimra. Anyone who reads in the Torah without a tune, Rashi says this refers to Ta'amei HaMikraot, what we call trup, the sing-songy music of the Torah. So if you're reading the Torah without using the trup, Vishone Belo Zimra, or you're learning Mishnayot and you're not singing it, you know, there is such a custom, mostly among children, but even among the yeshivas, to sing Mishnayot, because it's helpful to memorize them. So anyone who just reads the Torah or the Mishnah without a tune, Alav HaKatuv Omer, about them the verse says, and this is a verse in Yechezkel chapter 20, V'gam ani natati lahem chukim lo tovim, also I have given to them laws that are no good, and statutes, u'mishpatim lo yichyu bahem, and statutes that they will not live by them. So it gives them quite a serious curse, saying these laws that you're trying to follow, all this religious learning that you're doing, is not good for you, and you are disgracing it, so to speak. Makif la Abaye, so Abaye attacks this teaching because of this. Mishum dulo yada lebesume kala mishpatim lo yichyu bahem karita bay, because he doesn't know how to sing. That's one way of reading, understanding Abaye. He doesn't know how to sing, so that's why he doesn't sing it. So you're going to say that these statues are ones that he will not be able to live by. You're going to call out this curse upon him. Another way of understanding Abaye, which is the way Rashi says it, is that he doesn't have a nice voice. So he could sing the Torah and the Mishnah, but his voice is unpleasant, so he prefers not to. So you're going to call him out because he doesn't have a nice voice. Ella kiderav misharshia, rather, let us understand this verse like Rabbi Misharsha understands it. So Rabbi Misharsha understands it completely differently than Rabbi Shvatia. Rabbi Shvatia says the verse applies to the one who reads Torah without singing or learns Mishnayot without singing. Rabbi Misharsha understands the verse differently. To Amar, he says, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Hayoshvim Be'ir Achat, if you have two Torah scholars who dwell in one city, Ve'ein Nochin Ze Et Ze B'Halacha, and they are not nice to each other, or they do not have agreement with each other related to Halacha, so there's like public controversies over what the halacha is. If you can imagine such a thing happening between two poskim in one city, it does happen. Aleihem akatuv, based on them, the Torah writes, V'gam ani natati lahem chukim lo tovim, I have also given to them statutes that are no good, u'mishpatim, and edicts, maybe chukim are laws, and mishpatim are statutes, lo yichyu behem, that they shall not live by them. I think it's interesting to compare the two teachings as if when you read the Torah without harmony, that's one kind of unharmoniousness, of disharmony. And here you have two Torah scholars who are not agreeing with each other, and that is a second form of disharmony. Skinny line. Amar Rabbi Parnach. Rabbi Parnach said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So that could be why it's here, because it's another teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, even though it's not in the name of Rav Shvatia. Or it could be because it's still on the topic of Torahs. Kol ha'ochei sefer Torah arum. Anyone who grasps hold of a Torah scroll naked. By this we mean that you touch the parchment with your skin. And you may have seen, it is a common practice, not to touch Torah scrolls with the skin of your fingers, but to use a cloth or something to show proper respect to the Torah, not to touch it directly. So he says, anyone who does touch a Torah directly, nikbar arum, will be buried naked. That will be their punishment for showing disrespect to the Torah. Arum solkadatach, naked, you want to say, you are thinking. Ela ema nikbar arum below mitzvah. Rather, let's say they'll be buried naked without mitzvot. Not actually physically naked, you know, hopefully the Chevra Kadisha would not just bury them naked. It's a sign of sort of neglect and disrespect to the body. So just like you disrespected the Torah, you'll be disrespected in your death. And he said, instead say, Aron below mitzvot, that all of his mitzvot get taken away. Below mitzvot, tolkadatach, with no mitzvot, that's what you would say, just because he did this one act of disrespect to the Torah, he touched it with his bare hands, he's gonna, all his mitzvot will be canceled. You want to see below mitzvot al kodatach? You would say, you would come to think without any mitzvot. Ela Amar Abaye, rather Abaye says, nikbar arom below ota mitzvah. He'll be naked of that mitzvah, meaning whatever mitzvah he was coming to do. So if he was coming to read the Torah on that Shabbat and he touched the Torah, he showed disrespect to the Torah by touching it directly with his hands, he gets no schar for that mitzvah of reading that he did on that day. Meaning the mitzvah that he was trying to do with the Torah becomes canceled because of his disrespect for the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Breder Rabbi Yanai Saba, Rabbi Yanai, who was the son of the elder Rabbi Yanai, Mishmed Rabbi Yanai Rabba, who said it in the name of Rabbi Yanai, the great-grandfather, so you had three generations of Rabbi Yanai's, he says a similar teaching related to being respectful to Torah scrolls. Mutav, it's best, tiglal hamitpachat, that when you're rolling up a Torah, that you use coverings. They had like sort of silk or cloth coverings that they would use to wrap up the Torah. We don't really do that much anymore, but still, some Yemenites still do it. You better to wrap the coverings over the Torah, the al yiglal sefer Torah, and not have to wrap the Torah around the coverings. Better that the Torah should be stayed still and the wrapping should be put around it than that you should have to move the Torah. It is more respectful to be wrapped than to, you know, for it to be passive than for you to have to move the Torah in order to wrap it. Okay, now we come to the last four lines of the Masechta. We have one final teaching, and as is its general custom, the Gemara is going to finish with a short piece of Agadata that is kind of uplifting in order to finish the Masechta, but it is related to the topic at hand, which is the Torah reading on the festivals, which is what we've been discussing for the last few Dapim. So we have a pasuk here from Vayikra Chaf Gimel, which is the Parshat HaMoedot, the section dealing with the holidays that is read on many of the Torah reading that's read on many of the holidays. And it says, Vayidaber Moshe et Mohadei Hashem, El Bnei Israel. And Moshe spoke the holidays of Hashem to the children of Israel. So the Gemara understands this verse as mitzvatan, their mitzvah, sheyihyu korinotan, that they should be read aloud in the synagogue, kol echad ve'echad bizmano, each one in its proper time. So Mohadei Hashem, the festivals of God, should be spoken to the people on the times when they happen. The Marsha points out that it's very possible that the pasuk that was meant here, this is the end of the Parshat HaMoedot, that in the beginning it says, when it says, Eile Moadei Hashem, it says, Asher Tikra'u Otam Bemoadam, that they shall be called in their proper times. That it could be that that's where the Gemara originally learned the idea of reading them in their proper times. But here it quotes the end of, it quotes the other pasuk that says, Moadei Hashem. Now we have a similar teaching, but it may be slightly different to close out the Masechta at the two dots, two lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Moshe tikein lahem li Yisrael, Moshe established for the Jewish people, she yehu shoalim vidorshim b'inyano shel yom, that they should ask and receive, that they should ask answers and get, ask questions and get answers, vidorshin, and hear a drasha on the topic of the day. Now, this sounds like it is a different enactment than the previous one, because first of all, this enactment was an enactment that Moshe made, so it's clearly midrabanan. It's from Moshe himself that they should have question Q&A on the festivals, and that he should give a drasha, like a sermon on the drasha on that particular day, as opposed to the previous teaching, which seemed to be derived from a verse in the Torah, unless it was just an asmachta, but it seems to be derived from a verse of the Torah and refers to public Torah reading. So we could say that public Torah reading is one enactment, and that having questions and answers and a drasha is a separate enactment. It is also, however, it is possible that the two are the same thing, that the public Torah reading was part of a process of public study, that when you read from the Torah on the holidays, that that's how you learned what all of the observances of the Torah were, and that really they were the same. So there's a dispute among the Rishonim about that. There's also a separate enactment, which is well known, which is that Shoalim v'Dorshin b'Hilchot HaChag Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, that you are supposed to begin to ask questions and get answers and give drushas about the holiday 30 days before the holiday. Is that separate as well? So there are a couple of different opinions. I'll mention three different opinions that are brought in the back of the Gemara Masifta. One opinion is the Gra, that these are the same. We're still going to finish the last couple words, but that Shoalin v'dorshin b'inyono shel yom Hilchot Pesach b'Pesach, that when you are asking questions and getting answers and doing a drasha of Pesach on Pesach, it doesn't mean only on Pesach, it means Pesach and leading up to Pesach. In other words, according to the Gra, the whole 30 days leading up to Pesach is part of the same drasha. In order to be able to do all the things you need to do on Pesach, you have to start a little bit ahead of time, and because there's a lot of halachot related to it, you have to start ahead of time. So according to the Gra, really it's the same decree, it's the same enactment. The Beit Yosef answers differently. He says that this is a separate enactment, that you should darshan b'inyano shel yom, inyana d'yoma, that on the nature of the day you should always be talking about Pesach on Pesach, and etc. But that the enactment of learning the laws of the holiday 30 days before the holiday only applies to Pesach because it has so many halachot that you need to get started right from Purim all the way until Pesach in order to properly learn all of the halachot, as opposed to Sukkot, where you don't really have time to do that because you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that come right before, and as opposed to Shavuot, which really doesn't have very many halachot at all. It's just almost basically like a regular yontif. So really, the Beit Yosef says the Shoalim Shloshim Yom, that learning the laws 30 days really only applies to Pesach. Finally, we have the opinion of the Ran, who says that there is not really an enactment. There's no gzeira that you have to start learning the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. All it means is that 30 days before Pesach is an appropriate time to begin asking questions. Not that you have to, there's no special enactment, but there's an idea of Shoalin ki'inyano, of asking a question at an appropriate time. I mean, if you're asking a practical question, it should be practical and it should be at the right time. And that 30 days before Pesach is considered to be the appropriate time to start asking questions. So let's finish it up. We'll just review it. Tana Rabbanan, Moshe tikein lahem liYisrael sheyusho alim v'dorshim binyano shel yom. Moshe established for the Jewish people that they should ask questions and hear a drasha on the nature of the day. Either that means, as we said, the Torah reading, or it means darshaning on the festival binyano shel yom, on the nature of the day, or it means to even begin a little bit before the holiday to be learning about the holiday. Hilchot Pesach b'Pesach, the laws of Pesach on Pesach. Hilchot Atzeret b'Atzeret, the laws of Shavuot on Shavuot. Hilchot Chag b'Chag, and the laws of Sukkot on Sukkot. Hadron Alach b'nei ha'ir, we shall return to you b'nei ha'ir, which is this fourth chapter of Megillah. Uslikala Masecha Megillah, and we have completed the tractate of Megillah. We say it three times for added emphasis. Hadrach Alan b'nei ha'ir, Uslikala Masecha Megillah. Hadrach Alan b'nei ha'ir, Uslikala Masecha Megillah. Thank you so much for learning with me. I hope that you enjoyed it and that your Gemara learning and abilities have increased. And I hope that you will continue to learn with me the next Masechta, which will be starting shortly. We will be learning Moed Katan. Have a wonderful day and learn well.